Okay, today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, thank you, chapter 9. We'll do text 359 and 360. I'll read 359 myself. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unlimited. No one can properly describe his activities, yet I make the attempt out of greed. This but reveals my shamelessness. It's funny. He feels ashamed that he's attempting to describe the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya out of greed. This is actually Tatralalyam Ekamulyam Ekalam. Tatralalyam. Remember that statement? Tatralalyam Apimulyam Ekalam. The only price for devotional service is greed. Lalyam. Okay, next verse. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Whoever hears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pilgrimage to various holy places attains the riches of very deep ecstatic love. Here's the purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks, the impersonalists imagine some forms of the absolute truth through the direct perception of their senses. The impersonalists worship such imaginary forms, but neither Srimad Bhagavatam nor Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts this sense gratificatory worship to be of any spiritual significance. The Mayavadis imagine themselves to be the Supreme. They imagine that the Supreme has no personal form and that all his forms are imaginary, like the will-o'-the-wisp or a flower in the sky. What's the Sanskrit term for that? Anyone know? Flower in the sky. Yeah, akasha pushpa, pushpa akash. Kaivalyam narakayati tridashapur akasha pushpayati. Akasha pushpa. And Prabodhananda Saraswati says that Kaivalya, merging into the Supreme, is like hell, and the enjoyment in the heavenly planets is like akasha pushpa, flower in the sky. The idea being that flowers don't exist in the sky, it's an imagination. So the enjoyment in the heavenly planets, even though it's millions of times better than what we get here, is akasha pushpa, it's a flower in the sky, it's imaginary. That's what's being said there. Next sentence. Both Mayavadis and those who imagine forms of God are misguided. According to them, worship of the deity or any other form of the Lord is a result of the conditioned soul's illusion. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam on the strength of his philosophy of achincha bheda bheda tattva. That philosophy holds that the Supreme Lord is simultaneously one with and different from his creation. That is to say, there is unity in diversity. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proved the impotence of fruitive workers, speculative empiric philosophers, and mystic yogis. The realization of such men is simply a waste of time and energy. To set the example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally visited temples in various holy places. Wherever he visited, he immediately exhibited his ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a Vaishnava visits the temple of a demigod, his vision of that demigod is different from the vision of the impersonalists and Mayavadis. The Brahma Sangita supports this. A Vaishnava's visit to the temple of Lord Shiva, for example, is different from a non-devotee's visit. The non-devotee considers the deity of Lord Shiva an imaginary form, because he ultimately thinks that the Supreme Absolute Truth is void. However, a Vaishnav sees Lord Shiva as being simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Lord. In this regard, the example of milk and yogurt is given. Yogurt is actually nothing but milk, but at the same time, it is not milk. It is simultaneously one with milk, yet different from it. This is the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is confirmed by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Mayata tamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstane sarabhutane nachaham teshvavastitaha. By me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. The absolute truth, God, is everything. But this does not mean that everything is God. I'll just say something here. To say everything is God, that's pantheism. To say the universe is God, but there's more to God than just the universe, that's panentheism. Of the two, Vaishnavs are more panentheists than pantheists. We believe that, yes, the universe is non-different from the Lord, but there's more to the Lord than just the universe. In other words, there's another world, another spiritual world. There is Krishna's form, etc. There's the Vaikuntha planets, etc. Continuing. Everyone should follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and visit all temples. This is something that Kartik Chandra said recently. He gave class and he was quoting Baladeva Vijayabhushana, saying, he asked the question, should we worship demigods? And the answer Baladeva Vijayabhushana said was, if it will disturb people, then you should do these things and you should attend such functions. But internally, you should have no faith in this process. You see, if a Vaishnav goes against the custom, it will attract criticism to the Vaishnav, which is the Vaishnav Aparad. So we want to have a nice relationship with people. Therefore, sometimes we may take part in activities which other people think are spiritual, but we know are not properly authorized, but we will not internally be affected by that. That's the idea there. I'll repeat the last sentence. Everyone should follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and visit all temples. Mahaprabhu visits so many temples. There's over 10 Shiva temples visited in this chapter, if you go through it. Plus other the Durga temple as well. There's other demigod temples. Sometimes mundane sahajyas suppose that the gopis visited the temple of Katyayani in the same way mundane people visit the temple of Devi. However, the gopis prayed to Katyayani to grant them Krishna as their husband, whereas mundaners visit the temple of Katyayani to receive some material profit. That is the difference between a Vaishnav's visit and a non-devotee's visit. Here's a quick question for you. Who is Katyayani? Yogamaya. So not Mahamaya, but Yogamaya, yes? See, Srinivas is a pundit. He knows this is actually the case. Because as a purport, Katyayani, actually the verse, when this is described in the 10th canto, the term Mahamaya is used. But Mahamaya can also mean Yogamaya. And Yogamaya can also mean Mahamaya. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, Yogamaya Samavritaha, the conditioned souls are covered by Yogamaya. That's referring to Mahamaya. And in the 10th canto, when Katyayani is referred to as Mahamaya, that's referring to Yogamaya. It's actually Yogamaya or Subhadra, the sister of Krishna. So when the gopis worshipped Katyayani, they weren't worshipping the external energy, they were worshipping the internal energy. So they were worshipping the internal energy, praying to have Krishna as their husband. Okay, so Katyayini, and Durga is also a name for Radharani. So if we say that the gopis worship Durga, then it's correct, because Durga is a name for Radharani. So it's kind of the intricacies of Yogamaya, Mahamaya, and how they're named. That's something that you have to read Prabhupada's books very carefully, and the purports, and also the purports of the disciples of Prabhupada, and then all these details come out. So that's a little aside there. Carrying on, this next paragraph. Not understanding the process of disciplic succession, so-called logicians put forward a theory of panchopasana, in which a person worships one of five deities, namely Vishnu, Shiva, Durga, the sun god, or Ganesh. Sometimes Prabhupada replaces the sun god with Lord Brahma. But generally, when he refers to panchopasana, he's referring to the sun god as one of them. In this conception, the impersonalists imagine one of these five deities as supreme and reject the others. Such philosophical speculation, which is certainly idol worship, is not accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or by Vaishnavas. This imaginary deity worship has recently been transformed into Mayavad impersonalism. For want of Krishna consciousness, people are victimized by the Mayavad philosophy, and consequently, they sometimes become staunch atheists. However, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the process of self-realization by his own personal behavior. As stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila 8.274, Stavara Jangamadeki Nadeki Taramurti Sarvatrahoi Nidya Ishtadeva Spurti. A Vaishnava never sees the material form of anything, moving or non-moving. Rather, everywhere he looks, he sees the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and immediately he remembers the transcendental form of the Lord. End of purport. Prabhura tita yatra kata shuni je jana chaitanya charani paya gada premadhana. Whoever hears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pilgrimage to various holy places attains the riches of very deep ecstatic love. Om agyana tamarandasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Avanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari. So I request the blessings of all the devotees listening, those here and those online, and I offer my dandavats to you all, and especially to all the Sankirtan devotees who are going out every day on the streets and going door to door distributing Prabhupada's books and during the Prabhupada marathon. It's a funny time of year. The temple becomes a little bit quieter. And then after the marathon, everyone comes back, and then there's all these roaring kirtans. One of my friends said to me, you can tell the difference in the kirtan straight after the Christmas marathon or the Prabhupada marathon, because a certain spiritual merit has been accumulated by all the Sankirtan devotees, and then the kirtan seems to have an extra dimension to it. So this is like the lull, there's a kind of, things are quiet now. The temple's a little bit less populated and more devotees are out distributing Prabhupada's books. So my heartfelt thanks to you all. I am not on that same platform. I mean, today I'm going out to Camden. Everyone's welcome. And it's part of the Hare Krishna Festival Sankirtan effort. And there's going to be hopefully a lot of people in Camden. There'll be a lot of the public in Camden, because Camden is always busy. And there's a minibus going. We'll leave at the usual time. The normal Harinam, headed by Ananta Prabhu, is going. And then the festival team are going, and other devotees are going. So it's going to be hopefully ecstatic. And we'll be doing Harinam Sankirtan, book distribution. There'll be cookies. there'll be hot tea. So if anyone goes and you get cold, you can have a nice hot drink, etc. So it promised to be an ecstatic occasion. And I'm looking forward to it. So, but I'm not on the same level as those that are going out every day. I'm doing other things. I've been working. But it's still a communal effort. So please forgive me for my lack of seriousness for this. I have other things to do, like earn a living, unfortunately. Anyway, this is an interesting verse and purport. What struck me about this purport was it doesn't seem to relate to the verse. The verse is stating whoever hears of this activity or this pastime will attain ecstatic love. But the purport is mainly about demigod worship, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Mainly about these two points. There's a term in Sanskrit called Shruti Pala. It means the fruit of hearing. So you'll find many chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they will say, whoever reads this, whoever hears this pastime, they will attain such and such a destination, or they will be freed from such and such offences, or they'll be gaining some other spiritual benefit, generally speaking. Because it's Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a Kaitava Dharma, it is not cheating religion. The Shruti Pala, or the fruit of hearing, is spiritual. And if you could get a material fruit, one who offers such and such a prayer will have a son, you know, or you'll have 10 sons. That's a material fruit. The Bhagavatam, of course, devotional service gives material and spiritual fruits. Klesha Agni Shubhada, the first two characteristics of devotional service, or results of, the first one is obstacles. Klesha Agni means destruction of obstacles or of problems, and Shubhada means attaining good things. And Shubhada means spiritual happiness, as in the Antaranga Shakti, internal potency. There's even the benefit of Brahmananda, the ecstasy of merging with the Supreme. That is obviously included within the happiness that can be attained from devotional service. And Maya Sukha, material happiness, that is also one of the results of devotional service. And if you get carried away by that, it's an obstacle, you see. It's better to pray to Krishna only for spiritual happiness, not for material happiness, because you might get carried away by it. It's an intoxicant material happiness, Maya Sukha. But they are all offered. To perform devotional service, you will get all these three things. And we get these examples. Have you ever had the example where you've decided, I've given this example before. It's happened quite a few times to me. Someone said to me, look, here's an event, here's a program, or here's a preaching event, here's a Harinam, will you go in the Harinam? And you think to yourself, well, if I go in the Harinam, I'm going to miss Prasadam. And you're like, I don't want to miss Prasadam. But you know, I'm going to go in the Harinam. And then you go in Harinam, and then some devotee turns up on Harinam and starts offering Prasadam. So you get your Prasadam and you do the Harinam, you see. But if you doubt Krishna will look after you, then you won't go in the Harinam. And you lose out, you see. Whenever we surrender to Krishna, he will provide so much for us. Right? So, like this. So I was explaining how the Shruti Pala, the fruit, is material and spiritual if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so, this is a wonderful fruit, Gada Prema. The word Gada means deep. That's how it's translated, word for word, Gada. Gada Prema, Prema means love of God. And Dhana means riches. Golokera Prema Dhana Harinam Sankirtan. Narottam Das Thakur says the dhana, the wealth of Goloka, is Harinam Sankirtan, and it's coming from Goloka Vrindavan through the Maha Mantra, and it can penetrate our hearts. So Goloka, the wealth of love of God, actually descends to this material world. That's the mercy of Krishna. You know, Goloka Vrindavan is that special place where there is love for Krishna, and then that love for Krishna is coming through the Maha Mantra, and we can actually attain that as long as we chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Indra Prabhu used to comically say, Mahaprabhu's made it very easy, you know, there's no qualification, right? And this Maha Mantra is imbued with Braj Prema. And he said he's made it very easy, but there's one thing. You have to actually chant. You can't just say, I've joined the Hare Krishnas, I want love of God, but I'm not going to chant. You see, you have to chant the mantra if you want to get love of God. So we have to do this one thing. It's not difficult. It's only three words. We learn those three words and we chant and we listen attentively and we can get love of Godhead. So that's amazing because it's only attained once in a Divya Yuga. A Divya Yuga means 1,000 yugas, 1,000 cycles of four. Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. If you add up the duration of Kali Yuga, Dvapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Satya Yuga, it comes to 4,320,000 years. And if you then multiply that by 1,000, we're up to 4 billion, right? So once in every 4 billion years, Mahaprabhu comes. That's very rare, and it was only 530 years ago approximately. So just think of the good fortune. I mean, probabilistically speaking, you're more likely to win the lottery in the UK. I don't know what they call the lottery. The Euro lottery, you know, 200 million jackpot. Buy a ticket and tonight the draw will be held. Something like that, right? You're more likely to be born... You're less likely to be born in this time, just after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent, than you are to win the lottery tonight. Okay, that's the probability. So we're very, very fortunate that we can get entrance into Goloka Vrindavan, that special realm of Krishna's. Because on other yugas, you can get to Vaikuntha through chanting, but not to Goloka Vrindavan. Because in other yugas, Lord Chaitanya is not coming as Swayam Bhagavan, he's coming as an avatar of Vishnu. He has a similar form, but he's not actually Swayam Bhagavan. He's dancing, he's teaching the process of chanting Hare Krishna, but he's not the original. Na chaitanyad krishnaj jagati paratattvam paramiha. Therefore, the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita begins by stating there is no higher truth than Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna. Na chaitanyad krishnaj jagati paratattvam param iha. It's a very important statement. That's the tattva, or vastu nirdesh is this verse. This verse is describing the absolute truth, vastu nirdesh. And while we're on that topic, let's discuss the tattva of Radha Krishna and the tattva of the Pancha tattva, because it relates to Achincha Beda Beda tattva, which is the purport. Purport is mainly about Achincha Beda Beda tattva. So, everything, let's talk about the Dasamula tattva, the 10 truths given of our philosophy, given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The 8th is Beda Beda Prakasham Sakalamapi. Everything is one and different from the Lord. So I'd like you to give examples of what is one and different from the Lord. And the purport has several examples. So now I'm going to ask you to, if you can remember what was said in the purport, can you give, to say two things are simultaneously one with and different, we have to explain what those two things are. So can you give examples of what two things are simultaneously one and different? Anyone? Okay, that's an analogy, and we will discuss analogies shortly. But the analogy of what two things are different and simultaneous. Pardon? That's another analogy. Thank you. See, milk and yogurt is an analogy to explain what is one and different. But I'm asking at the moment, what is one and different? In fact, today Prabhu has given one example. The universe and Krishna are one and the same. I mentioned during the purport, pantheism. The universe and Krishna are one, pantheism. Or the universal form, that's an indication of how the universe and Krishna are one. But Krishna is also more than the universe, because he's not in the universe, therefore he's different. So that's one example, the universe and Krishna. And Jiva Goswami, he describes it as Beda Bedat Makam Vishvam. Vishvam means the universe. Beda Bedat Makam Vishvam. The universe is one and different from the Lord. Other examples? The soul and the super soul. Amazing example. And I never thought of that one. That's like the avatars. The avatars of Krishna are non-different from Krishna. Okay. Any other examples? There's some obvious ones. There was one in the purport that's not been mentioned yet. There's a personality who's very like Vishnu, but isn't. Shiva, yes. So what is the verse from the Brahma Samhita that describes this? Yasambhutam. Apitata samupaita karyad govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. The idea that given here is just as milk and yogurt are the same, and yet yogurt is a transformation of milk, in the same way Shambhu or Shiva is none other than Krishna but is a transformation of Krishna. You see? So this is a nice analogy. Milk and yogurt. It's the analogy to help us understand how Shiva is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. And I'm going to say something controversial now. I was actually discussing with several Prabhupada disciples that some were finding in our society Shiva Kirtan is sometimes being performed, but it's actually not, strictly speaking, supposed to be done. And there's a purport where Prabhupada says, actually, Shiva Kirtan is not authorized according to scripture. Krishna is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. It's Vishnu. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Kirtan of Vishnu is our process. If you want to please Shiva, then best to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's a good way to please Lord Shiva. Anyway, carrying on. There's another example of two categories that are one with and different from the Lord. It's a very obvious one. It's the Jiva and Krishna. So who knows that verse? There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which explains how the Jiva is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nichadas Krishnera Tatashta Shakti Beda Beda Prakash Suryangsha Kirana Jaichi Agni Jwala Chai Swababika Krishna Tina Prakara Shakti Hoy. It's two verses. So this is saying that the Jiva is internally the servant of Krishna. Krishnera Nichadas. This is our constitutional position. Krishnera Tatashta Shakti, it is the marginal potency of Krishna and it is Beda Beda Prakash. A manifestation that is simultaneously one with and different from Krishna. And then we go to the analogy, Suryangsha, which means our sun ray. Suryangsha Kirana, a sun ray, and the sun, they are one and different. Or Agni Jvala Chaya, that Agni and Jvala, heat and light, or heat and fire, they are one with and different from the Lord. So there's two analogies. The sun ray is non-different from the sun, but different. Heat is non-different from fire, but different. Or we could say light is different from the fire, but non-different from the fire. The fire and the fire's light. You see? Svabhavika Krishna Tina Prakara Shakti Hoy. Krishna's energy has three categories, been referred to as internal, external, and marginal potencies. So that's Chinchabeda Beda Tattva in relation to Jiva and Krishna. So let's just recap. The universe is one and different from the Lord. Lord Shiva is one and different from the Lord. the jivas are one and different from the Lord. The super soul is one and different from the Lord. There are so many other examples. The holy name is one and different from the Lord. Now, we tend to, in ISKCON, we tend to say that the holy name is non-different from the Lord, and we emphasize that. But it's also different, because Jiva Goswami gives the example that if the Lord is like the sun, if the Lord's form is like the sun, then the holy name is like the surface of the sun. And the avatars and the eternal confidence of the Lord, they're like the surface of the sun. And the jivas, they're like the rays of the sun. And the universe, the material world, is like a reflection of the sun. So you see, the oneness is there in all these examples, but you're moving away. You're moving away from the sun, like that. So these are all examples. So let's go to analogies. So Paramakruna Prabhu gave an analogy. So what are the analogies that to try and describe Beda Beda Prakash, or the Beda Beda Tattva, Chincha Beda Beda Tattva? And before I ask you to give me some analogies, there's two types of nyaya referred to by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One is Sakachandra Nyaya, that's known as branch moon logic. The idea being, how do we describe something very, very far away? Spiritual truth is so difficult to understand, so how do we describe it? We use Sakachandra Nyaya, which means the logic of the branch and the moon. So branch moon logic means the branch is very close, the branch of a tree is very close, the moon is very far away. So what you do is you point someone to the branch, and when they see the branch, they see the moon behind the branch. So the idea is that spiritual truth is very, very up there, it's very far away, but we use examples from our own experience to help point us in the direction, and then we meditate on these examples, and by spiritual security we can then get realization. That's Sakachandra Nyaya. And it's also known as Arundhati Darshan Nyaya, which is another example. And I can relate to this one, because when I was a child, my mother, she knew a little bit about astronomy, and she would point to the sky and show me where different stars were. And the way she would do it, she would say, first of all, look at this thing, and I would find it. Then you see, now close to that, just above that, you would see this star. And I say, oh yes, I see the star. She showed it to me. So she taught me Orion's belt and things like that. And the idea here is there is a star called the Arundhati, and it's very, 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 very faint. So if I said to you, it's in the sky, you're not going to find it because you don't know where to look in the sky. So then what you do is you, first of all, you point to something more obvious. And then when you've seen the obvious thing, you then see, but very close to that, you'll see this very faint star, the Arundhati, and you're like, oh, now I see it. So the idea there is, you know, point to something knowable that's within our perception, and from that, they can then meditate and transcend that and then get spiritual truth. So the scriptures, that's what they're doing. Because someone may ask the question, how can words describe the Supreme? The Supreme is beyond words. There's actually a term for the Supreme to mean that he's beyond words, adhoksija. Because A is the first letter of the alphabet, and Sha is the last letter of the Sanskrit alphabet. So Aksha Ja means everything that can be described by words. Ja means born of. And Krishna is beyond everything that can be described by words, therefore he's known as adhoksija. You see? So how do we describe Achincha Beda Beda Tattva? Because the very term Achincha means it's inconceivable. And Rupa Goswami, he's got a definition of Achincha. Achincha ye kala bhava na cha tongues na cha tarkina prakriti. Prakriti bhyak param yat cha tad achinchan shalakshanam. Na tongues tarkina yoja yet. Yes. So the Achincha means that which cannot be understood through logic. Tarka means logic. So Achincha means that topic which cannot be understood through logic. But Prakriti Byak Param, it is beyond the material. So the idea is the material world is the world of duality. Therefore, when we use logic, we're using duality. This is true, false. And we start saying this is therefore that. Logic is based on binary, you know. So I studied mathematics at university. So when I was studying logic, it was all ones and zeros. Anyone who's done any course in logic will know logic gates, they have ones and zeros. And you can make very, very complicated sentences that are too difficult to grasp the logic, but you can use symbols of ones and zeros and then formulas, and you can understand the meaning of sentences if you want to go down that path. You use double negatives and ifs and nots and buts and all this stuff, and, ors, etc. This is all prakriti, meaning material world of duality. But the spiritual world is simultaneously oneness and different, and therefore there's oneness. There's oneness and there's also difference, therefore our logic doesn't often work. It doesn't quite get us there. So we use Arundhati Darshan Nyaya or Sakha Chandra Nyaya to explain the Achincha aspect. So let's give it some examples. What examples can we give of things that are one and different? Now we've given a couple of examples. One example is the sun ray is one and different from the sun. We have yogurt is one and different from milk. Any other examples? Fantastic. The drop of water in the sea, and that's used to describe the jiva and Krishna. So the Krishna's infinite. He's the vibhu. Vibhu Chaitanya means he's the infinite life force, and the anu Chaitanya, that's the jivas. We're minute, but we're both Chaitanya, meaning we're life living. Chaitanya means living, you see. So there's jiva Chaitanya, or anu Chaitanya, and vibhu Chaitanya. That's how we're one with. So actually when Prabhupada describes Achincha Beda Beda Tattva, he's saying the oneness is in quality and the difference is in quantity. If you want to know why are we one and different from Krishna, in quantity we're different, in quality we're one. Paramakuna was going to say something maybe. No? Okay. Anyone else?
Gold.
That's another fantastic example, and it applies to the jiva, right? The gold and the gold mine. See, I've got a ring here. This was once on the finger of Ugra Nrisimha in Lajit in Mayapur. So I'm very happy. I feel if I ever die untimely, at least I have this little bit of prasad of Lord Chaitanya, of Ugra Nrisimha from Mayapur. So yeah, the gold. This ring is simultaneously different from the gold mine and the same as, you see. So that's another nice example. Krishna's name is more powerful than Krishna. Okay, that is a point of tattva. He's more merciful. It says that Haristani aparadi tari harinam. If you offend Krishna, says Narasana Das Thakur, if you offend Krishna, then Krishna's holy name will deliver you. So the holy name is more merciful than Krishna, so there's a difference, more powerful. Tomastani aparadi nahi paritran. But if you defend the Vaishnav, then even the holy name will not deliver you. You have to get the forgiveness from the Vaishnav. An analogy? Any more analogies? Oh, that's a nice one, thank you. Father and son, simultaneously one and different. Yes, the fire and the light and the heat. Okay, let's talk about Radha Krishna. There's a lovely sequence of verses in Adi Leela. Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shaktiman. Dui Vastu Bedanai Shastra Praman. Mriga Mada Taraganda Jaichi Avicheda Agni Jvalate Jaichi Kabu Nahi Beda. Radha Krishna Taichi Sada Eka Esarupa Lila Rasa Asvaditi Dori Dui Rupa. Radha is the Purna Shakti, the complete energy. Krishna is the Purna Shaktiman, the complete energetic. Dui Vastu, they are two objects. Beda Nai, but they're one. And what analogy? Two analogies are given. Mriga Mada Taraganda Jaichi Avicheda. There's no difference between musk and its scent. How about that one? It's a lovely answer. An object and its scent are simultaneously one and different. Musk and its scent, they are different but one. Agni Jvalati, it's back to heat and fire. Heat and fire are simultaneously one and different. So Radharani, if she's the heat, Krishna's the fire. The fire is the source of the heat. So they are simultaneously one and different, but in order to taste rasa, they become two. The idea is Eko Bahusham, the absolute is one, But if you're by yourself, it's not so much fun. Therefore, the absolute expands into many in order to taste rasa. And let's give another example of a Chinchabhedabheda tattva, and that's the Pancha tattva. They are simultaneously one and different. And there's another verse that explains this. Pancha tattva ekavastu nahi kichubheda rasa asvaditi tabu vividavabheda. Also from Adi Lila. And this is funny. When Adi Lila describes Radha Krishna, they say duivastu, two things. Vastu means a thing, an object. Duivastu, Radha Krishna. Pancha tattva ekavastu, one thing. The Lord is one in five, one feature, one person in five features. Yeah. And what are those features? We have the Jiva Shakti, as in Srivas. We have the Antaranga Shakti, or the internal potency, as in Gadadhar or Radharani. We have Vishnu Shakti. Three of the Panchatattva are Vishnu Shakti. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaitacharya. So they're all called Prabhu. Prabhu Tattva, they are the Vishnu Tattva. So the Pancha Tattva, they're like when we describe Radha Krishna, we say they're one, but they become many to taste rasa. The same true for the Pancha Tattva. Pancha Tattva is one, and then they become five in order to taste rasa. Because let's face it, if you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you want to play with your friends, you want to enjoy variety. So the Absolute Truth expands into many. So that's another analogy of that back to Dave Prabhu. He came up with that the fire and the heat. Any other examples? I can think of at least two more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Coming in the mood of Radharani, Lord Gadadhar. Gadadhar, the energy, this is an example of Shakti and Shaktiman being different and non-different. Shakti, Radharani, and Shaktiman, Krishna, they're different and non-different. But what about the analogy? We had the example of the... I'll give you another one. The tree and the branch. You heard this one before? Is a branch the same as the tree or different from the tree? Go and think about it. It's both. How about this one? The milk and the cow. Same and different. How about this one? Ice and water. Are they different or the same? So these are examples. They all help us to understand the concept of a Chinchabhedabheda tattva. And much of the purport is on this topic. Let's talk about the other part. I'm going to finish soon. Let's talk about the other part of the purport, which is largely going into Panchopasana worship and Mayavad, and how worship of the demigods is not authorized. It's not part of the proper spiritual path. So there's an interesting statement in the purport about the Brahma Samhita. Does anyone remember what Prabhupada says? I'm going to try and find it. Can't get it. Somewhere there. Can anyone find it if you're online? Sorry, if you're on the internet. There's a mention of the Brahma Samhita that we should worship according to the Brahma Samhita. Oh yeah, I found it here. The Brahma Samhita, okay, here I'll read the sentence beforehand. When a Vaishnava visits the temple of a demigod, his vision of that demigod is different from the vision of the impersonalists or Mayavadis. The Brahma Samhita supports this. So that's an interesting statement. The Brahma Samhita supports this. What is actually being said there? Would anyone like to offer an explanation? Why does the Brahma Samhita support this? Okay, let's talk about the Panchopasana. They are mentioned in the Brahma Samhita. We know this. There's a verse that describes all of them. And I mentioned that sometimes Brahma and sometimes Surya is mentioned as one of them. But actually both are mentioned. So there's actually six are mentioned. Now Vishnu, because Vishnu is one and different from Krishna, that worship of Lord Vishnu is appropriate. And that type of worship is accepted. But what's been said when the Mayavadis, they worship Vishnu. They worship what Prabhupada calls philosophical Vishnu, which means they don't think Vishnu's got an eternal form. It's just some statue they're worshipping in order to help them merge with the Supreme. So Vishnu is a means to an end, or Vishnu worship is a means to an end, and Vishnu doesn't eternally exist. That's how they, which is offensive. They've offended the form of the Lord. They've said the form of the Lord does not exist. But apart from Vishnu worship, we worship Vishnu, of course, in a different way. We understand he's Satchidananda. He has an eternal, blissful form. So, what does the Brahma Samhita, how does the Brahma Samhita establish that the demigods are subservient to Krishna? Now, there's an analogy given for every one of them, or an analogy given, or a statement given that shows that each of those demigods are subservient to Krishna. So let's first of all talk about Lord Brahma. What does the Brahma Samhita say about Lord Brahma? There's a one verse that describes, of course, because it's the Brahma Samhita, there's many verses in the lead up to the Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha. From then, when we get into this meter, this is all the prayers of Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma has a prayer about himself. He's in trance. He's receiving the knowledge from Krishna. And he describes himself by one prayer. Anyone remember that one? The idea is, just as the jewels get their sparkle from the sun, Lord Brahma gets his creative energy from Krishna. In other words, Lord Brahma, he's the engineer of the universe, but all the materials, all the intelligence, all the Shaktis. In Krishna, in order to create anything, there needs to be three Shaktis. Icha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, and Jnana Shakti. Prabhupada liked to this is three energies, three categorical energies of Krishna. If you want to do anything, say you want to build a skyscraper, first of all, there has to be the desire to build it. There has to be Jnana Shakti, that's the Icha Shakti. Jnana Shakti means you need to know how to build it. In other words, you need an engineer, structural engineer, who's going to tell you, you have to use this beam, it has to be made of this material, the floor is going to be made, and you have to know all the knowledge, you're going to have to bolt everything together this way and that way, right? That's the Jnana Shakti. And in Kriya Shakti, you need someone to actually build it. In other words, you need workmen, you need your, you know, machinery, your labor, right? And if you bring all these three things together, you take any one of these away, you can't have your skyscraper. So the same with creation. Krishna provides all these things. It's ultimately Krishna's desire, Krishna has the knowledge, and Krishna, through his energies, he can actually bring it about. That's how creation happens. Icha, Jnana, and Kriya, all these Shaktis. So Lord Brahma, the materials, they're coming from Krishna. So he's not actually, can't take credit for that side of things. The knowledge is coming from Krishna. And the desire, well, he's a secondary, he desires, he has the creative desire, but it's Krishna's desire originally. Krishna desires to create the universe, and Lord Brahma, because he wants to be the creator, he then facilitates Krishna's desire. So all of it's coming from Krishna. So if you went to a Brahma temple, and there's practically none, right? Because Brahma was cursed, right? Not to have a temple. Practically no temples. Where is the temple? Is it in Pushkar? Okay, the Pushkar. You want to go to a Brahma temple, go to Pushkar. He's like, there's almost no Brahma temples. Anyway, so he's subservient. So that's the Brahma Samhita conception of Lord Brahma. And what's the Brahma Samhita conception of Lord Shiva? Well, we've covered it. It's milk and yogurt. In other words, Shiva is a transformation of Krishna. In other words, Krishna is the creator, and he transforms into Shiva. So Shiva is not a separate entity independent of Krishna. He is simply the creation of Krishna. And then what about Surya? How do we establish the subservience of Surya in the Brahma Samhita? Yes, Yajnaya. Yes. The eye of the Lord, yes. Yes, Yajnaya Brahmati Sambrita Kala Chakro. He goes round on his chariot, Yasya Agya, on the order of Krishna. In other words, he's doing it as a servant of Krishna. Therefore, he's subservient, you see. What about Durga? How is she subservient? What analogy? His analogy is given. Chayeva yasya bhuvanani bibharta Durga. She creates like the shadow. Chaya eva means no separate in existence. The shadow follows the object. The shadow is not independent of the object. In the same way, she's like the shadow of Krishna. She's not independent of Krishna. And what's the other? There's another part to that. Icha anurupa apayasya chachestatesa. Icha anurupa, her desire is subservient to Krishna. Icha anurupa, it's according to the desire of Krishna. So that's Durga. So we haven't done Ganesh yet. How is Ganesh subservient? How does the Brahma Samhita establish that Ganesh is subservient? Yet Pada Pallava, thank you. This is the verse that said, he takes the feet of the Lord on his head. So he's a servant, you see. So have we covered all of them? Brahma's the gem, the Surya, the Surya Kanta. The term Surya Kanta is in the translation, but it's not in the Sanskrit. There's a gem called Surya Kanta. So Brahma's like the gem, Surya Kanta. So they're all subservient to the Lord, you see. So if we have that understanding, then we can visit the temples of the demigods. And Prabhupada did this, and he taught his disciples. And how did he bow down? We bow down to Krishna with our left side to Krishna. When Prabhupada entered the demigod temple, he bowed with his right side to the deity. The idea being he's keeping his left side to Guru and Krishna. So when you bow down to demigod, you keep the demigod form on your right side, and in your meditation, you have Krishna and Guru on the left side. Okay, so that's how we visit temples of the demigods. So I'm trying to guess why this purport, I mentioned earlier the purport doesn't relate to the translation. I'm guessing that we have a chapter where Lord Chaitanya is visiting so many demigod temples, and Prabhupada is wanting to point out that actually demigods are servants of Krishna. It's not our business to worship demigods, but we follow the custom because we don't want to upset people. But in our faith is that it's all coming from Krishna. And I'll conclude with a little statement from Bhagavad Gita. Kamas taista rita yana prabhajante yadevataha. Tam tam niyamamastaya prakrita niyata svaya. That Krishna tells Arjuna, those whose desires have been stolen by illusion, they worship the demigods. And they follow the niyama, the rules and regulations that are prescribed. But prakrita niyata svaya. But actually, it's all coming from me ultimately. Everything's coming from Krishna. So when we worship the demigods and we get boons from the demigods, not that we do, we should understand that it's actually all coming from Krishna. But we're doing it, as the Bhagavad Gita says, avidhi purvaka, which means we're doing it the wrong way. When you worship the demigods, you're worshipping Krishna, but in the wrong way. And on that note, we'll finish there. Thank you all for your time. Grantaraj Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now, that's a little bit of time. I think prasadam is still going to be at 9 o'clock. So if someone wants to ask a question or comment. Srinivas Prabhuji. Thank you. We have a microphone.
Well, in all Hindu temples, they worship Ganesh, right?
Yes, they worship Ganesh.
But we don't worship Ganesh here. We worship Narsingadev.
Yes.
So Bhakti Premaraj, he made a statement one time. Someone asked him a question about, I do Ganesh Puja, then how would that help me if I'm worshiping Narsingadev? So he explained that if you worship Narsingadev, then Ganesh doesn't accept the worship. If you worship him, he runs away because Lord Narsingadev is his master.
Hare Krishna. It's interesting, from removing obstacles, there's actually a statement in the Nectar of Devotion about worshipping Ganesh to remove obstacles. So it's like, what's going on there? And I asked I asked this to Jayapataka Maharaj, and he explained that the Nectar of Devotion, or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's a collection of statements from various scriptures. So, worshipping Ganesh, if you worship it the right way, there's nothing wrong with worshipping Ganesh. There's also, see, for removing obstacles, I'll give you three deities. Kartikeya, I think, is one of them. That's mentioned in the Pancharatrika Vidhi. But then the Ganesh is another example. But then for the Vaishnavas, we tend to worship Lord Nrsingadev. Therefore, he's known as Bhakti Vigna Nash. He destroys obstacles. So you can worship Lord Nrsingadev. As Vaishnavas, we are primarily worshipping Lord Nrsingadev to remove obstacles. Hare Krishna. Anyone else in the comments? Paramakruna Prabhuji.
Just a question. We also hear that Ganesh is an eternal personality.
Okay.
So, wondering how that is, because Lord Shiva, we know, or we can understand that after destruction, he still remains. How is Ganesh an eternal personality? Where does he reside? Where is he? What happens? Yeah, I don't know if you know anything about that.
Actually, I don't know anything on that particular thing. That's an interesting question. So we can open it out to the floor. Anyone have any understanding about Ganesh being an eternal personality? I have heard it said that all the demigods exist in a kind of prototype form in the spiritual realm eternally. And also all the names of all the demigods are actually names of Krishna. So when a Vaishnav reads the scripture, then whenever the Vaishnav sees the name of a demigod, he can connect that to Krishna. So there is a eternal form for these demigods. But at the same time, there are posts that can be occupied by jivas. At least some of them can. Anyone else? So my apologies for not being able to properly answer your question. Prayojana Prabhuji.
Thank you, sir. I'm sorry to have missed your class. It really hurts me to see you on there, and I missed most of it. But what occurs to me, it's all about service. Demigods, they serve Krishna.
Mm.
They're like administration. They just do not only what he desires, but what we desire. They're serving us as well as Krishna. So they're all very special. And if they see themselves that way, then just like Lord Balaram, none different from Krishna, but he sees himself as a servant of Krishna. You know, so on the transcendental plane, there's nothing that isn't serving Krishna in some way on these higher levels. That's what occurred to me, what was happening there.
Thank you.
You may have already been through all this.
No.
It's wonderful. Ekale Ishvara Krishna, Ar Savabritcha, Jari Jaichi Nachaya, Sitaichi Kori Nritcha. There's only one Ishvara, Krishna. All other are servants. And they dance according to the order of Krishna. Hare Krishna. That's a nice point to end, because that's the essence of our philosophy. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna's everything. So, anyway, good luck to everyone. So many of you will be going out doing more book distribution today. Good luck to you all. And I'll see you all at the reunion. Hare Krishna, if not before then. Antarachita Tanachatamadaki Jai.